Well, this morning, it's a great honor to be able to have the Rendle family with us today. And as you know, as we have been working as a missions team to highlight our missionaries, we have been able to have 10 of our 11 missionaries here present. And hopefully in the spring or next year, we'll be able to have our one missionary who they are serving in Japan. But today, we have the Rendle family. And so we're going to start off this morning, and Jordan and Marilyn are going to share. And I'm not going to give you a lot of details, because I think they're going to tell us a little bit about all kinds of things. But they're going to start off. Oh, and your daughter, too?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Good. I'm going to just turn it over to you.
Go.
It's all yours.
Thank
go
you, Scott.
Because you need it all.
There you go. We'll take the time. Thank you. This is a delight to be with you. As Scott mentioned in his prayer, this church has been supporting us for a lot of years. Can anybody guess how many? We were here about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and I mentioned it was the 30th anniversary of our partnership in the gospel with all of you. So this is our 32nd year. You guys sent us out, so we're your fault. So hold that thought. And part of our connection with here, we got so many touch points with this great church. One of them is I trained for Ironman for many years, and I would ride my bike from Victoria to Comox, and this was one of my stopping points, coming to this particular place. And the pastors here were always warm and embracing, would give me a coffee and a bun, and away I'd go again. So this is a special place for me in that regard. We also have some cred because Marilyn gave her heart to the Lord at Camp Quanos, so there's some Kaleo students here, so thanks for investing in Quanos. And we are Cape and Ray parents. So one of our daughters, not this one, not Jolynn, but one of our other daughters went to Cape and Ray in England for a semester, and she said it was life-changing, so no pressure. So we are going to give you a bit of a world tour. We love our picture up on your map over here. Did anybody notice what it says on the Rendles picture? We're like out in the middle of the ocean. We're not in one particular place. And what does it say, Marilyn, on it?
It says many places.
It says many places. So that's where we're going for the next 10 to 15 minutes. We want to give you a missions report, or what the old-fashioned churches used to call testimony time. Anybody ready for testimony time? And we're going to give you a little bit of that. And I also want to be sure to introduce my folks are here, Don and Sharon Rendle. And they are legendary Fellowship Baptist missionaries and pastors. In fact, one of the first places Dad was practicing some early preaching way back when happened to be in a little church. It wasn't this one, but another little church here in Ladysmith where my grandparents were ministering, the musical Neils. Some of you might remember the Neils from 1,000 years ago. There you go. And so a lot of good things for the Rendle family happened in Ladysmith. So again, a delight to be with you.
Well, we wanted to start where we left off last time. So we were with you in July of 2024, and we were using the theme Every Generation, and we continue to use that theme because my life verse for Youth for Christ when I started back in 1990 was Psalm 71, verses 17 and 18. In that time, I was very young, and so this talks about, "Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I'm old and gray," not too much gray yet, but I am older, "do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come." And so we still live by that life verse today. And so I'm going to let Jordan say the next.
Sure, we're going to bounce back and forth in these slides. So we work for Youth for Christ International. Actually, Jolynn works for Youth for Christ Victoria and the Lower Island. She's actually the only human being ever in history that is fourth generation Youth for Christ. So my grandparents traveled, yes, praise the Lord for that. My grandparents, the Neils, they toured with Billy Graham and Tori Johnson back in the rally days of Youth for Christ. Then my folks, and then us, and now Jolynn. So it's kind of fun. And we have a wonderful mission and vision. We love this. As part of the body of Christ, it's to see that every young person on planet Earth has an opportunity to be a follower of Jesus and to be part of a local church. What are you? A local church. So YFC is always trying to bless local churches. And I love this part of every young person have an opportunity. How many young people are on planet Earth? 2 billion teenagers. Ooh, how fun is that? So we have job security in Youth for Christ. Yes. Go ahead.
This is a family picture, and so the top is my fiance and myself there, Ricardo and Jolynn. Then my brother-in-law and sister, Dani and Joy, and Dani's from Spain. And then my mom and my dad there. And then my brother Josh married Nicole. And then there's also my brother Jordan, who married Rachel, and we have a little niece. Her name is Elizabeth. And so, yeah, this is a family picture. And
where are we living, Jolynn? Can you talk about where everybody is?
Yes. Dani and Joy are living in Barcelona, Spain. My parents are in Victoria right now.
Ish.
And same with me. I'm in Victoria-ish right now. Josh and Nicole are in Limerick, Ireland. And Jordy and Rachel and Elizabeth are in Chilliwack on the mainland. And Ricardo is in Chile. In Pucón, Chile, in South America right now.
And how many more days?
We get married in 94 days,
yeah.
Which is exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a thing.
Yeah.
We hear this every morning.
So. The countdown, yeah.
I'm waiting for her to start counting minutes, but you're still at days. You're still at days.
Yeah. And so as my parents said, they work for Youth for Christ Canada, and I work for Youth for Christ South Island in Victoria. And just a little bit about my job, I work at Esquimalt High School, and we run a breakfast program every morning for about 120 kids come through every morning, and we have bagels and toast and yogurt and fruit and juice boxes, and just get to really make relationships with them through that way, just starting their mornings off really well. And we also have a youth office right across from the high school where we have drop-in open after school, and also Monday night youth groups, which we've started Alpha Youth Series, which has been going so amazing. So it's just been, yeah, a really cool place that God has planted me there. Yeah.
Okay. So Jolynn also works part-time for me. I'm the executive director of Youth Compass International, and it is a ministry of Youth for Christ International, specifically working with international kids around the world. So those who are moving with their families, they be missionary kids or business kids or embassy kids, and we'll be getting into that a little bit here. So our tagline is navigating life together. We want to serve, empower, and equip international youth and their families.
So the next slide is about a crazy number. I think we may have showed it to you last time we were here, but it just keeps burgeoning and growing. The largest nations in the world by population are, what are the two top nations in the world by population? Quick. India and China, huge. Next is Indonesia. Next would be the United States. But bumping United States for fourth place would be the virtual nation of the diaspora. Can everybody say diaspora? Diaspora. It's a huge group of people that live outside of their passport countries. Some of you here this morning are living outside of your passport countries, and it's bigger, and this number is booming. Just 10 to 15 years ago, it was around 200 million, and now it's over 300 million, and it's just blossoming. And so this is a space in which the church can do some very special things.
Jordan mentioned the number 2 billion young people in the world. The number of teenagers between 12 and 19 in the diaspora is 40 million, so that's also quite a large number. And those kids in the diaspora, there's an umbrella term that we call called cross-cultural kids. And so a cross-cultural kid is a person who is living or has lived in or meaningfully interacted with two or more cultural environments for a significant period of time during their first 18 years of life. So that's when they're still within their family home.
And some of you sitting here are going, oh, that's me.
Cross-cultural kids.
You might
kids.
Be a cross-cultural kid.
And so cross-cultural kids include TCKs, which we'll get to in a moment, children of immigrants, children of borderlanders, bicultural kids, biracial kids, educational CCKs, so the international kids that come to our schools here in Canada during their teenage years, they would be educational cross-cultural kids, military kids, children of refugees, international adoptees, even domestic TCKs, those that move from one side of the country to another, they're crossing cultures there.
So the term third culture kid, TCK, is a person who has spent a significant part of their life from 0 to 18 years old outside of their parents' passport culture or parents' culture. And so the diagram that we have here, just to make it more simple and hopefully you can remember it more, the first culture is your home or passport culture. So I'm a third culture kid. My dad's a third culture kid as well. So I have a Canadian passport, but my second culture are the all the countries that I've lived in. So I've lived in Argentina mostly, and in the US, and in the United Arab Emirates is where I graduated from high school. And so those are all my second cultures. And so I don't feel completely Canadian, I don't feel completely Argentine or Emirati, and so I formed this third culture, this international lifestyle. And so a lot of the kids that we work with are also TCKs, even especially at the local high school that I go to in Victoria. There's so many cultures and so many languages that are being spoken in the mornings, and I get to communicate with them and hear their stories about where they've lived and grown up, and I get to share my own story and just be able to communicate and connect with them through that way.
There you go. Thank you, sir.
So the three spheres that we work in with the international kids that we work with are partner, empower, and serve. So partnering, we like to collaborate with like-minded organizations, schools, families, churches, and communities. And then we like to empower youth workers, teachers, parents, student teachers, or student leaders, and teens themselves through training, dialogue, to raise awareness and to amplify their teen voice. And then we also provide service projects to get outside of their international bubbles and interact with their local communities. And so we like to use the word glocal. Even though they're global kids, they are in a local community wherever they're planted. And so we want to see that they're serving their local communities. Now I have put together, I was looking through all our pictures and slides, and those of you that follow our newsletters, you may have seen some of these pictures at our rendl.ca website. And so, but I just wanted to go through, I've put them in...
put your seatbelts on, I'm just warning you.
Quarterly pictures here, and I know we talk a lot about we're traveling around the world, and I don't want this to be a travelogue about places. I'd rather like you to see the faces on the screen and just as we go through. So from July to September, since we were here last, we were involved here locally with Camp Quanos. Jordan's done some speaking there. The Compassionate Resource Warehouse, it's a ministry of Youth for Christ as well, where things are packed together and sent to countries, to Youth for Christ chapters around the world. We hosted our Youth for Christ Kenyan director. He came to Victoria. And then we were overseas. We did a youth camp in Switzerland where we, Jolyn did some seminars for the teens and we did seminars for the youth leaders. And then we were in the Southern Cone in of South America, in Argentina and Uruguay. Jolyn and I were speaking in schools and in a youth group there.
And then October to December, again, I was back at Quanos. I spoke at the men's retreat. We went to a conference in Malaysia. And I was in Belarus as well, which was a very fascinating place. I can't talk too much about that here as we record and whatnot, but you can just imagine God was doing some very, very special things there. And MICN, just so you know, again, right at the start of the service, I mentioned how much we love the church, capital C, the global church, and little c, that's the local church. MICN is the Missional International Church Network. So it's a network of churches that are in very international kind of places like Berlin, or Kuala Lumpur, and so on. And so we help that organization with their youth ministry, helping TCKs and CCKs in those places. And we're officially endorsed by them, I think. The Youth Compass is the agency that helps train youth pastors and youth leaders in those spaces.
Great. A year ago, in January to March, we were able to spend some time here on the ground meeting up with TCKs that have re-entered the United States, and so we were down in Washington State visiting some friends, but also reconnecting with teens who are in our youth group in Argentina, and it's really neat to see how they are living out their lives so many years later. We also then went through the UAE and met up with a lot of the youth that we worked with there on our way to Central Asia, and Jordan did spoke at a spiritual emphasis week there. And then he also had the opportunity in March to be able to go to Colombia to speak at both there was a conference and there was the international church that he spoke at there, but he also reconnected with some of his former high school. Your grad class, because that's where he graduated as a TCK many years ago.
So it was fun to speak at the youth group that I graduated from. That was really fun. January to March,
April.
You just did that.
Yeah, April to June.
So April to June, 2025, we went to Uruguay. Can you all say Uruguay?
Uruguay.
No, not Uruguay. Uruguay. Very good. Somebody back there said it properly. Uruguay. So Uruguay is an amazing little country just off to the side of Argentina and Chile. And we had a friend who was taking a sabbatical from pastoring a little international church there. And so we went down and subbed. We were substitute pastors for 3 months. And while we were there, we went to Chile, Paraguay, and Argentina, because they're right all around in that community. And we just leverage. It's something we do, if you've noticed. Whenever we travel somewhere, we try to make the most of proximity to wherever we're going. And so it was a powerful time of ministry. In and through all of this, we've had thousands of kids hear the gospel and hundreds come to the Lord. That's the punchline of all of these stories. So be praying for them as they give their hearts to the Lord, as we follow them up and disciple them into local churches.
And so part of April and May, I was able to join my parents down in South America in Paraguay, that my dad and I got to lead a youth camp there for about 60 TCKs, and also more specifically, most of them were missionary kids, and a lot from North America, from Canada and the U.S., and even some South Africans too. And so being able to, just be there with them and be able to relate to them, because we're also missionary kids that have come from North America and was raised in South America. And so being able to speak in English and Spanish and also worship, I got to lead worship in English and Spanish. So it was just an amazing time to connect with these kids. And we're planning on coming, going back this April as well, which I'm excited to reconnect with some of the girls there. And I just wanted to read and share this testimony from a little text message that one of the girls sent me after the camp. I wanted to say a big thank you to you and your dad for being at this camp. Because of you, something I had been praying for came true. My friend Anna knew there was a God, but didn't believe Jesus is our Savior. On the first day, she barely sang in worship, but by the end, she was raising her hands. She told me she has now become a Christian and wants to read the Bible and know more about God. I'm sure this is largely because of your dad sharing his stories and knowledge. I'm very grateful and just wanted to say thank you.
So one of the things that we did a month later is that Jordan and I were able to go back to Paraguay and have a reunion for these teens that were at the camp that Jolyn was mentioning. And we did a parenting session, not parenting, but parent and teen session. So we had the parents together, we had the youth together, and then we brought them together to talk about TCK concept and just how that they can help them navigate life together.
And I also got to do a special event called Parlamento y Fe. Parlamento y Fe, so Parliament and Faith. Every once in a while, Jordan Rundle gets to put a suit and tie on and go to government offices. And this was an amazing event to challenge government leaders from all over Latin America about the role and the worth of teenagers in their countries. And I love that space. So currently, my title the last 8 years has been Global Youth Advocate, speaking on behalf of the 2 billion teenagers on planet Earth. But as of January 1, I'm actually have a slightly new title. It's Global Ambassador. All my life I've wanted to be an ambassador. Now I'm a kingdom ambassador for the kingdom of God on behalf of the 2 billion teenagers. And a neat little note for you is just 3 days ago, after lobbying the United Nations for 4 years, we just got accepted as a specialist consultative NGO status. Youth for Christ can now speak into the UN about teen issues and challenges. So I'm very excited about that. Yes. As we say in Spanish, Gloria a Dios. Gloria a Dios. Glory to God.
Well, Jolyn and Jordan were at the camp in Paraguay. I went to Europe and was involved in the Alpha Leadership Conference. We're collaborating with Alpha on some youth Alpha online projects. And then I also was in Spain and in Germany, where and I was with Youth for Christ staff there. Our Youth for Christ staff around the world work with indigenously, so Canadians with Canadians, Nigerians with Nigerians, Germans with Germans. But Youth Compass works cross-culturally, and so just trying to raise awareness in our national programs in Spain and Germany here, just about the concept of cross-cultural kids and some of the challenges they have and some of the benefits they have as well, having a worldview that is a little bit larger sometimes than our own nations. And so that was a really great time for me. And then Jolyn.
So after the week in Paraguay, my dad and I were able to go to Argentina. And in that time, I also got engaged. And so just making the most of that time in South America and being able to see my long-distance boyfriend at that time. But we were able to go to the International Church there, which is actually where we grew up, the International Church that my parents led the youth group there. And now, crazy connection, God story. My fiancé's parents are now the pastors of that church, but we never met until 2 years ago at a conference in Turkey. we were able to, just share with the kids there at the youth group that my parents started, and just a cool full circle moment, and just being able to encourage those third culture kids there.
So July to September 2025, I was busy traveling again, Colombia, Europe, and the Philippines. And two highlight stories in there. In Colombia, I got to speak in northern Colombia in a little town called Sincelejo. And it's right near a place where my parents planted a church in the early 70s when I was just a little guy. I speak that kind of Spanish from that part of Colombia. And they did a conference with me for 1,500 teenagers. I think it was one of the largest five-day camps I've ever done. And it was on fire. It was so exciting. It was one of the hottest places in Colombia. And it was just an amazing season. Over 100 kids gave their hearts to the Lord. And over 100 committed their lives to long-term full-time ministry. So that was very, very, very encouraging. Another highlight for me was in the Philippines. Jolynn has mentioned, we're both missionary kids. I got to speak at one of my favorite legendary, iconic missionary kids schools, which was Faith Academy in Manila. And so that was a very special touch point. I'd never been there before. I always wanted to go and just speak in, and I got to eat some of the best Jollibee in the world. If you're Filipinos, I saw it already. The minute I said Philippines, it was like Jollibee chicken. KFC isn't even close compared to Jollibee chicken.
In October, I joined Jordan in Asia, and we went to Malaysia, where we have a Youth Compass program there with international kids. And we're actually starting a collaboration with YWAM there, which is very cool, on the ground, working with our teens there. And we went on to the Missional International Church Network Conference in Thailand. And so that was a special time. And that was our last overseas travel of the year. We were actually home from Canadian Thanksgiving until now, and actually right through to the end of February. And then travel will start up again. But we've been very blessed to be able to go to these places and to share God's love with others. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about our team. Marie Suazo is my administrator, and she lives in the Philippines, was able to attend that conference with Jordan in the Philippines. And our communications director is Job. He works part-time with Youth for Christ Kenya and part-time with me as our communications director. And then Jordan and Jolynn are on my team.
Neither of us are sure we had a choice, but we're happy to be on Marilyn's team.
One of the things we do is we have a monthly community call, and so any youth leaders that work with international kids can come on the call, and they come from all over the world, and they change every month, but we record them so that people can understand what we do. So it's a 10-minute devotional, and then we have some tips and training, and then we go into prayer rooms. So that's one of the ways that we support our community. We also have resources, which you'll see on the table there. Those are our demonstration resources, so if you could leave them there, but you feel free to look at them. I'm happy to tell you how you can order them if you're interested. But we have Life in Motion, which is 10 Bible studies in 4 different languages, and you'll see some other supplies there. But also, Jolynn and Job and Marie are on a team with YouVersion to plan some TCK Bible plans with YouVersion. And then we will be back with you guys at the end of May for a missions conference. And so before giving away all that we do as far as our content of our seminars, we use the term Navigating Life Together as an acronym to be able to help navigate life together with these international teens. And so that's just sort of a preview for next time that we are with you at the end of May.
And these are just some more family photos of all the engagements and weddings that have happened in the past, 6 months or a year now. But Josh and Nicole got married in August of 2025. And Daniel and Joy got married in July, and now they're living in Spain. And there's some pictures of me and Ricardo in Argentina, our engagement there, and soon to be wedding.
What's the wedding date?
May 6th.
There you go. Yeah, that's right. So a lot of people, if you don't get our newsletter and you'd like to be in our newsletter, please sign up. But often a response we get to our newsletters is, I'm exhausted just reading your newsletter. And I always say, can you imagine living it? But we want to tell you that we do take breaks. We believe in Sabbath. It's a very scriptural concept. In fact, it's one of the top 10 commandments. So Marilyn and I are pretty diligent about looking after ourselves, and we're saying this next season of life, we want to age well, and she keeps telling me, act your age, and that would be helpful. But Sabbath rest, and we get to tag on some pretty exotic places at the end of one of these trips. We'll go for a day or two. We never get very long trips, but we'll go to some beautiful places and just walk together. One of our favorite things to do in this season, and you might have heard that I was an Ironman. I mentioned that, but as I'm aging, walking's really nice. It's really cool.
So we just wanted to finish with some prayer items, and we sort of mentioned them throughout here, but we are involved with Youth for Christ and Youth Compass. Jordan's roles is Youth Global Ambassador for Youth for Christ International, or Global Youth Advocate for Youth Compass, and I'm the Youth Compass International Executive Director. Jolynn works for Youth for Christ South Island and also with Youth Compass in our social media part. We are involved in our local church in Central Baptist in Victoria, and as of today, in fact, while we're sitting here, they're probably announcing it at Central, we have committed to being Jordan as the interim pastor and me as a transition implementation coordinator, long title, for the next 11 months. We're going to be helping Central just walk through the transition between pastors, and so when we are on the ground here, we will be very involved with Central. And then if you could be praying for our interaction with our family spread across the world. Jolynn mentioned where all our kids are, but they are there. And then also the Sabbath rest rhythms, that we would get time to rest along the way so that we can honor God in all that we do and say. So I will pass Amen. This off now to Jordan.
So that was a lot of air miles in that presentation. But the highlight, again, as Marilyn said, was the young people who are coming to the Lord. It's just mind-blowing. It is very, very, very special. So thank you, Marilyn, for putting that together. She's the only one that could succinctly put something like that together in 10 or 12 minutes or whatever we took to travel the world. And thank you. On behalf of all those people that we were able to minister to, thank you. I can't help but think what we had a young guy in Central Asia who was in our youth group meetings, and he said, you must meet my dad, you must meet my dad, you must meet my dad. I went to meet him one night at supper, and the man was in tears. He was this huge, big Russian guy who was now working in the country we were in. And he was just weeping, and he said, you know, my son has told me I need to talk to you. And so we got talking. The son just kept saying, given the scriptures you just taught us today at my school. So I just gave him the same stuff, and he said, sir, I want to tell you, I know why you came here. You came here because today I was going to quit ministry. And I know by God sending you to here, to this place, to have dinner with me, I know I'm supposed to stay in. So moments like that keep us getting on airplanes and trying to bless as we go. So if you have your Bibles, thank you for reading so well, Ruth chapter 2. We're going to look at this very quickly, but I want to get into the word about immigration. Now that's a touchy subject, but we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about what God thinks about that and how God would like us to respond to things like this. I'm going to desperately try not to be political in this, but I'll try to be scriptural as we talk about this. So diaspora teenagers, the number, official number is about 40 million, but we think there's closer to 50 million teenagers who are living outside of their passport countries. And this is a very personal story to me, by the way, as Jolynn mentioned. When people ask me, hey, Jordan, where are you from? Most awkward question in the world for me to respond to. And usually because I don't really know. I usually say to them, well, I have no idea where I'm from, but I know where I am. Standing at Ocean View Community Church in Ladysmith, and I know where I'm going, and I know whose I am, Maryland's and God's. And people often ask me, maybe I told you this before, people often ask me, Jordan, where's home to you? And I say, it's wherever Maryland is. Yeah, there you go. And it's not even Valentine's yet. So there you are. But we're going to look through this passage because it challenges me. I love this little passage. I don't know how many of you have experienced this. This is confession time. How many of you hate, one of your pet peeves is you have this date, you have this time, you could spend together as a couple or with some friends, and you doom scroll through Netflix or Disney trying to find a movie worth watching? Anybody ever? Yeah, and it's just so frustrating. It's like there's really nothing good out there. Well, this is the pinnacle romance story right here in this little book of Ruth. That's what we're going to get into. And we're going to reread it. If you have your Bibles, please follow along with me, because I'm going to just intersperse what I'm going to say exegetically, verse by verse, because it's that exciting, this story. Now, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. This is Ruth chapter 2. That was verse 1. Verse 2, and we're going to stop. Little chunks, little phrases. And Ruth the Moabite. Let's stop there for a moment. Ruth was a Moabite. This was a people group whose lineage came through Lot, the nephew of Abraham. So Lot's daughter had a son called Moab. These people were usually considered enemies of the Israelites, and they lived in what is now called the country of Jordan. I don't know how many of you have ever been to Jordan. I lived in the Middle East for 5 years, and I'd always introduce myself as saying, "Hi, I'm Jordan, not from Jordan." And immediately they knew what I was talking about. Right at the end of the south end of the Dead Sea, Naomi and her husband and her two sons leave Bethlehem because it was a famine. So they leave in search of food. They go to Moab, and the two sons married two Moabite women, which was technically not supposed to happen. And then tragedy strikes, and all three of Naomi's men die. It's a brutal story. And this is a classic story. If you think about what's going on in Gaza, what's happening in Ukraine, there's people dealing with this stuff right now. Iran, there's some heavy stuff going on right now all over our world. Tragedy strikes. She loses her three men. So the immigrant family that had married into a local family, now there's no reason to stay, and so Naomi's like, well, I'm going to go home, whatever that was for her. But Ruth declares that she's going to accompany her mother-in-law on her repatriation journey back to Israel. So Ruth marries an immigrant. He dies. She becomes an immigrant. Naomi had told both of her daughters-in-law that they should stay and return to their own people. One of the girls does go back, but Ruth then gives that beautiful speech. You know which one I'm talking about? Speaking of weddings, your people shall be my people, your God shall be my God. And it's fun because the next verse that talks about that story in chapter 1 says, Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to come with her. I love that word, determined. Immigrants are often very determined. Because if they weren't determined, it wouldn't happen. They wouldn't move. They wouldn't get out of the refugee camp or wherever they're trying to move from. Let's remember that in this story, Ruth is likely very young. This is why the Youth for Christ guy is talking about Ruth. Very young, very likely a teenager even. She's a grieving widow as well. She's a woman. And in that era, if you put all of that together, you have somebody who's super vulnerable. And she's moving now to a country that classically despises Moabites, especially their women, because they were often seen as seducers of Israelite men. She had a lot of tough things stacked against her. So this is the Ruth that shows up at Boaz's field to collect some grain, and this is so that they can eat, so that they can survive. This would be like her going to the country grocer or to the Save-On Foods here in Ladysmith with no money, hoping that someone will have mercy on her and give her some day-old bread or some bruised fruit and just have favor on her. Verse 2 continues, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Now, what I love about that phrase is Ruth is super vulnerable, but she's also super proactive. Proactive. One of the things I've often experienced with young refugees and immigrants to Canada is that they remind us of an old value we used to have as Canadians, whatever it takes mentality. Like, whatever I got to do, I'll get in there and do it. They're proactive, seeking ways to pay their way, and they're often grateful to Canada for giving them an opportunity to leave a refugee camp or to try a new start at life in a safe place. This is the broad generalized phrases. Obviously, I used to be a cop, and sometimes I dealt with some very difficult immigrants, but for the most part, they're trying to do the right thing. Ruth also knows that she needs a favor to make this happen, so she goes looking for it. And Naomi says to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, verse 3, she went out and entered a field and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. I love that little phrase in verse 3, as it turned out. Scripture's got a sense of humor, doesn't it? This was God orchestrating. This was God incidental. This was providentially, not lucky. By the way, Christians don't ever use that word. It doesn't make any sense in a kingdom worldview. We have no reason to ever utter that word. I always am amazed when I hear pastors say lucky. I'm like, what does that even mean? Verse 4, just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. I love this exchange. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they answered. I love Middle Eastern greetings. In Muslim countries, they say, Salam Aleikum, which means peace be upon you. What a cool way to greet each other rather than, hey, how's it going? Right? It's just, they get it already, how important it is that God is with us. And here Boaz and his harvesters have a blessing exchange. Verse 5, Boaz asked the overseers of his harvesters, who does that young woman belong to? And that's not a phrase related to property. It's, where does she fit in? How did she get here? Verse 6, the overseer replied, she's the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. One of the things I love about this story is she's earning credibility through work ethic. Remember work ethic? Can everybody say work ethic? So a funny story for us as a family, our eldest son, Jordy, did tree planting in northern British Columbia. If anybody ever here has done tree planting, you know it's one of the toughest gigs going. And he worked really hard. He had seen poverty in Latin America as a missionary kid, and now he was given an opportunity to make some really good money, and so he worked hard. He worked so hard that his manager said, I need your dad's phone number. My son was like, What is that about? So the manager of the tree planting company calls me up. He says, most of my crew has quit in the first week. Your son is my toughest worker. Do you have any more of these? I know two Filipino guys who are living in downtown Vancouver in a tiny little hovel, and they're working six jobs between the two of them. They're willing to make it work, whatever it takes. Verse 8, so Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the other women. I've told the men not to lay a hand on you, and whenever you are thirsty, anybody here ever been thirsty? Like really thirsty? We lived in the Middle East in a desert for 5 days, or 5 years, and I've done ultra marathons, like in deserts. Thirst is a thing. And so now he's telling her, whenever you're thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have already filled. And this is the punchline of the message for this morning, is these two verses. These pair of verses are about how we as the church can treat teenagers from around the world. Boaz, in these two verses, gives us our job description for the church about how to show the love of God to imported young people. Talk about imported cars and imported fruit. God is importing to Canada. First, this is what he does. This is my little outline here. First, he adopts her by calling her my daughter. That's not just a cultural thing. He embraces her as my daughter. He includes her, invites her into the family by honoring her with a title versus hey you, right? Second, he cautions her about what not to do, about what could get her into trouble. Don't go to the other fields. Don't leave here. Third, he makes her part of his team. Work alongside of the women who already work for me. Watch what they do. Follow them. Now, I don't know how many of you moved internationally. I know Scott moved internationally when he was a kid. He moved up here to Canada. And it's different. We lived in the U.S. for 3 years, and it was one of the biggest culture shocks we've ever experienced. It was a very, very different place to live. One of the toughest things when you move is to figure out systems. Is to figure out protocols, banking, buses, grocery shopping. And here Boaz says, just watch the ladies on my team, follow their lead. Fourth, he says, he protects her from potential predators. Remember, she's a widowed young foreigner. Boaz uses his gravitas to tell the men, this woman is important to me and to us, and she has worth. He advocates for her. He stands up for her. Fifth, he cares not just about her long-term needs, food and sustenance, but he dignifies her immediate needs, her working conditions. Whenever you're thirsty, get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. Help yourself to what we already have. Verse 10, this is her response. At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you would notice me, a foreigner? She essentially says, I can't believe you even see me. Curiously, in the latest rendition of the movie Avatar, the principal pinnacle greeting of acceptance, of inclusion in the family is, I see you. She's so grateful. She's so respectful. What's the opposite, by the way, of that? Entitlement. Now, I want to challenge each of us here this morning, including myself. Scott knows these are the best messages when it works you over first. This whole story is the gospel. It's the good news in a nutshell. We are all immigrants away from home in a spiritual sense. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all Gentiles in that sense. And Boaz is the voice of God saying to us, you are welcome here. You are invited in. We have been displaced from the Garden of Eden, but God steps in and steps up. And as it happens, the Lord has brought each of us to this church this morning on Sunday morning, just a block away from one of my favorite Dairy Queens, where I'm going to have lunch. And God does all the things that Boaz did for Ruth. He calls us his sons and daughters. He gives us a family. He gives us a place to belong. He cautions and warns us. He makes us part of a missional team. He gives us his word and teaches us how to navigate safely in a dangerous world. He protects us. He advocates for us. He dignifies our working conditions. There's good coffee at Ocean View Community. But are we grateful? Do we get that he's doing all of that for us? Do we bow with our faces to the ground and ask, why have we found such favor in your eyes that you would notice me a sinner? Verse 11, I love Boaz's response. I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. Here's another thought. Have you ever thought about all that the diaspora leaves behind when they move? We did this when we moved, when we left Victoria. I left a great job as a police officer. You as a church sent us out in 1994 to Venezuela, Argentina, to Colorado, to Abu Dhabi. We left family and homeland. We left parents and customs, all to move into a place with a people we didn't know before. And by the way, that's what it feels like for an unchurched teenager to step into your youth group. You ever thought about that? It's very unusual. A church youth group, if you've never been to one before, is like, where have I landed, right? But it's awesome. It's awesome, awesome. And it feels like that if you're a new visitor at the church. And by the way, if that's you, you're welcome here. We're delighted to have you here. The deepest heart's cry of this church is to be invitational, to be heartwarming, to make you feel part of what God is doing through this church. So then this beautiful blessing by Boaz. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Have you found refuge under God's wings? If you haven't, all you need to do is ask and say, God, cover me with your wings. Forgive me. Hold me. Send me into the world on mission. So Ruth responds, verse 13, I'm going to wrap up with this. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord, she said. You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants. Who else in Scripture says I'm not even worthy to be one of your servants? Do you remember? Prodigal son. The prodigal son upon his return home. The father ignores that comment and embraces his son. Another extraordinary phrase in this verse 13, Ruth says, you have put me at ease. You have given me peace. I now have no reason to be anxious. You've given me comfort. You've given me provision. You've given me hope. Do you remember what happens next in this great redemptive Bible story? Again, this is hugely better than any Netflix movie or Hallmark love story. Boaz ends up marrying Ruth, just as God marries his church. We are the bride of Christ, and we say, why have we found such favor in your eyes? Why do you love Ocean View Community Church so much? Why did you love us so much that you sent your only son to die for us on the cross? And yet another punchline to this great Ruth story. Ruth, the teenaged widow and immigrant, becomes part of the lineage of Jesus himself. She's actually King David's great-grandma. So, thank you. Muchas gracias, shokran, as they say in the Middle East, salamat, as we say in the Philippines. Thank you for supporting Youth for Christ. Thank you for supporting Youth Compass. We are immigration agents as missionaries. We're helping people who are crossing two borders, the geographical physical ones and the spiritual ones. There are two young brothers in Victoria who I meet with regularly from the same family. They came to Central. They've even come to Camp Kwanos a couple times over the past few years. They've heard the gospel. They come from a Muslim background, and they're having a really hard time letting go of that because it's not just their religion, it's their whole culture. And I'm just praying like crazy for them. They're so grateful for Central's investment in them, getting them out of an African refugee camp. Pray for these two brothers, that they would surrender their hearts to the God of grace, the God they're not familiar with, the God who loves them, even as Boaz loved Ruth. History is full of immigration stories. I mentioned there's over 50 million teenagers who are on the move, living outside of their passport countries. And we, in partnership with you, are on a mission to help them know that they are loved by God, that they have a place to belong, and that we're all here to help them navigate this God journey. Thank you again. Let me pray for us. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for reaching out to us with a powerful love. Thank you for the many, many ways that you mission us, that you send us out, compel us to represent you well. And God, we just pray forgiveness for the many times we don't do that so well. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the many ways, for many, many years, since the 70s, this church has represented your heart here in this community and around the world. So we pray a special blessing on us, Lord. Just anoint us for your purposes and help us to see the stranger in our midst, the foreigners in Ladysmith. Help us to talk to them. Help us to engage with them. Help us to be Boaz to them. See them, advocate for them, protect them, and guard them so that they can land here well. Thank you for your love for us, and thank you that we can celebrate that apart from you, we can do absolutely nothing. In Jesus' name, amen.